Hello, ladies. This is Teresa Senecola and Alicia Baptiste with the International Christian Mompreneur Network. And we are here today for our weekly prayer cafe, where we'll receive a little bit of spiritual nourishment. And I am looking forward to hearing what Alicia has to share with us today.
Well, good morning, ladies. And we are on the second second devotional in our series, and I'm calling this series redefining our identity. Mm-hmm. Last week it was you are chosen. Last week you are deeply loved, and this week is you are chosen. And redefining our identity. Why do we need to redefine it? Why do we need to settle our identity? Because when we know who we are, we can live boldly in the purposes that we've been given. We can love and serve lavishly the people whom we are privileged to serve. And we don't have to prove that we are valuable by our work, our appearance, our achievements, or whatever other means that we try to use to prove our worth and value. We can stop seeking other people's approval, and instead we can rest in who our Creator and our Heavenly Father tells us we are, because what He says is the truth about who we are. He's the one that gives us our value and our identity. Our identity and worth isn't something that we earn. Instead, it's a gift from God. And when we can begin to understand that and live in that, we will find greater peace in our hearts and less striving. And so that's why we call it redefining our identity, because many of us have found our identity in many different ways. Most of the time it's based on what we've done. Many times it's based on what other people say we are. And so we want to go to our Creator, the lover of our souls, and find out what He says about us. No, we want to know His thoughts about us, because we know that's the truth, and we want to hold firmly to the truth of who He says that we are. So this week we're going to be reading from 1 Peter, the second chapter, verses 9 through 10. And it reads as follows. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of Him who called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. Once you were not His people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy or compassion. So the focus of our lesson today is really focused on verse 9, and he starts off by saying, you are chosen. You are God's first choice. You're not an afterthought. You are not chosen with regret or hesitation. He didn't choose you because he ran out of options. Instead, he chose you with careful consideration and with his perfect wisdom. On the other hand, he didn't choose you because you were so qualified. He chose you simply because he loves you. You are chosen. The supreme and all-knowing God considered every possible option, and he chose you. And so what did he choose you for? He chose you to live out your unique purpose. He chose you to be the mother of your children. He chose you to serve the people that are in your life with the gifts that he gave you, the unique gifts that he gave you. You are chosen as his daughter. And as we go into our next point, he chose you as royalty. You are daughters of the King. And what does that really mean? It means you have access to all of the lavish wealth of heaven, all of the resources, all of the inexhaustible supply of heaven. All of that is at your disposal. And so when you think about the work that you need to do, the responsibilities that you've been given, you don't look inward to see what you have inside of you so that, I wonder if I can do this. Let me think about what I have to give. Instead, you look at all of the resources of heaven that are at your disposal, the energy, the power, the connections, whatever it is, the knowledge and the understanding, whatever it is that you need, you have access to it. And with all of those resources, you can look at that and say, okay, you know what? I lack no good thing. I lack nothing. And so because we are royalty, because we are daughters of the King, because we are connected with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because we have access to the very throne room of heaven, that communicates to us that we're significant. Not because, oh, well, I'm significant because of my degrees, because of my certifications, because of my past achievements, because of my position in my business or my company. I'm significant simply because I've been given significance by the God of the universe. And because we are significant, because you are significant, your work matters. No matter how insignificant it may seem to the rest of the world, your work matters. The things that you are doing today matter. Your life matters. Never, ever believe a lie that the enemy speaks to you or to me that says our life doesn't matter, that what we do doesn't matter, that if we left the planet Earth, no one would care one bit. Your life matters. It's significant. And the words that you speak matter. And so your words have weight. And so even some of the things that we may think as offhanded comments, our words matter. We have the opportunity to speak life and hope into people, people that we pass on the street, people that we pass in the store. We have an opportunity to speak life and hope and blessing over the people that we encounter. Your words matter. Remember, you are royalty. You are the daughter of the King of Kings. It also says in that scripture that we are priests. And so what does that mean? Because we have been purified by the blood of Jesus Christ, we can enter into the presence of God, the Holy of Holies. As we read in Scripture, we look at the responsibilities that priests had. They had a very special job that no one else was allowed to do. They were able to go into the very Holy of Holies, which is where the presence of God lived at that time and on earth. And so they had the opportunity to be in his presence and to make intercession for the people, to offer sacrifices for the people. And not just anybody was able to do that. It had to be a person who was born into that lineage. Before they went in, they had to go through special rituals to cleanse themselves and purify themselves so that they might be worthy of being in the presence of this holy God. And Jesus has already done the work for us. He has already purified us and made us holy. We have been cleansed. All of the work has been done. And so we simply have the opportunity to go into the presence of God, to be near him. We have special access to the throne room of heaven. And because we have special access to the throne room of heaven, not only do we have an opportunity to enjoy being in his presence, but we have the privilege of being able to bring others who are far from God close to him so that they too may enjoy the benefits of his presence. Ladies, we are holy. We have been set apart for the special purposes of God. So what that means is you are not common. Instead, you are special. You are valuable. You are unique. You belong to God, and he has special things planned for you. You are his treasure. You know, you think about, here it is, the supreme, all-knowing God who has access to all of the resources of the universe and beyond, and he chose us as his treasure. That means he values us, and he sets his affections on us. Isn't that crazy to think about? We are his treasure. And because we are his treasure, he has given us a special assignment. And that is to declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. I want to read from 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verses 17, all the way to the end of the chapter and beginning with chapter 6, verse 1. It says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature, or the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. And so here it is, it's just telling us that we are ambassadors in this world. God has appointed us as an ambassador to speak on his behalf. He's making an appeal through us. He's crying out. He's saying, please, please come near to me. I have made a way that all who are far from me might come near to me. I'm begging you. Be reconciled to God. We get to partner with God. We get to work alongside of God in this work of bringing all who are far from him near to him. Just as I talked about earlier, as we are priests, we have access to the very throne room of God, into the presence of God. And because we are enjoying the benefits of being in this presence, he has also given us the responsibility and the privilege of crying out to others and saying, hey, it is awesome here. It is beautiful here. God loves us. We have been chosen. Come out of the dark places that you live in. Come out of the place of hopelessness. Come out of your place of being depressed and fearful. Come from that place of striving, of living without peace, of living with a sense of emptiness. I've been there. I know what it feels like. But I want to come and tell you that there is a new way of life that you can live. You can live in the presence of this loving God who will replace your depression with joy, who will replace your hopelessness with hope, who will replace your fear with confidence, who will replace your striving with rest and peace, and who will replace your emptiness with the fullness of life. We get to declare that to people. And so, Lord, we just ask that you would help us to live out our identity, redefine who we are, because, Lord, we've gotten it wrong so often. So often we think, God, that we are either unworthy because we've failed, or maybe other people have told us that we are unworthy, but for some reason we judge ourselves as unworthy, or we judge ourselves as worthy based on what we've accomplished. And so, Lord God, I pray that you would give us, teach us the truth about who we are, that we've been chosen by you, that we are valuable because you gave us our value, not because we earned it, not because of our credentials, not because we're qualified, but because you have given it to us, and it cannot be taken away by anyone. You will not take it away. We cannot lose it. It will not slip through our hands. We will not do something that is so awful that you will say, sorry, cancel that. You're no longer chosen. You're no longer valuable. But we can rest firm in knowing that our worth is settled once and for all. And so, Lord God, may we hold firm to this when all of the world around us is shaken, when we have plunged down into the pits of despair, when we have failed royally. In those moments, God, may we cling to the truth about who we are and who you say we are, Lord God. May we live out our assignment that we've been given, that special assignment to declare the praises of you who called us out of darkness and into your marvelous light. May we be ambassadors that speak the message of reconciliation. Be reconciled back to God as Adam was once in your presence. Now you call us back into that beautiful place where we get to walk with you in the cool of the garden as your friend. So, Father, I pray that for each one of these ladies. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. Thank you, ladies, so much for joining me this week. I pray that you hold firmly to the truths of who God says you are, and may you share those truths with other people as God desires to redefine our identity to our true identity. Have a blessed week. Goodbye.